Have your Bibles with you. Please open them up at Exodus chapter 20, and we're looking at verse 12. That's Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And now, if you can turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. No? Oh, it's one. I thought, you know what, Michael? I thought this just doesn't add up. Could I allow my brother to read that passage? Because I have all my typed out. Could you read that passage for us, Michael? I did actually read that and I thought, I don't know what the connection is, but I'm sure I'm going to find out.
You and me, brother. You and me both, brother.
Thanks,
no, it's fine. Thanks, Tony. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's discipline, and do not abandon your mother's instruction, for they're a garland of grace on your head and ornaments around your neck. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful to be together here this morning, gathered around your word. We ask that your Holy Spirit would minister among us, that you would show us Christ, and that we would leave this place glorifying you for your wisdom and for your work that you have done in your Son, Jesus. Amen. If you've been with us for the past month, you'll know that we've been going through a series on the Ten Commandments called the Decalogue, looking at the instructions that the Lord gave to his people by grace at the mountain of Sinai. Now, as we've seen, much of this has been like the picture that we get in a marriage ceremony of the bride walking down the aisle to exchange vows with the husband. I mean, it's not a perfect illustration, but it gives you the type of picture of what we've seen between a Yahweh and Israel thus far. You might know the story. Moses was sent to Egypt by God, and through a series of miracles, Israel had been led through tumultuous circumstances to come to the Lord to make a covenant with him. And so we might think of these instructions here not as the way that these people were to become the bride of God, but as the terms of the covenant that they had both already entered into. Thus far, Yahweh has told his people to never put him in competition with any other so-called gods, to never make an image of him to bow down to not misrepresent him before a watching world in word or deed. And as we saw last week, he wanted his people to take one day in seven to rest and reflect on the covenant that they had with each other. That's what we've looked at so far. And I mention all this to you because many great theologians would say that the first four instructions, known as the first table of the law, was a clear set of ways in which God's people were to honour him, to which the fifth commandment onwards, the second table of the law as it's known, has a far greater focus on our responsibility to those around us. And I mention that because as we come to the first instruction on what it looks like to love our neighbour as ourselves well, astoundingly, God points our attention to the family unit. and more specifically to those whom he's placed in authority in the family unit, namely our parents. And I want to tackle this very interesting part of Scripture with you in just two ways. First, I want to look at what God is calling his people to, and then second, I want us to look at the promise that he personally attaches to it, and then we'll think about how all of this applies to us here and now. So if you have your Bibles there with you this morning, have a look with me at Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. God says to his covenant people, honor your father and your mother. Right, so the first thing that I want to tackle here with you this morning is that many of us in this room might have a very different idea on what the word honor actually means. For example, some might think it means to have moral integrity towards someone, like to be honorable towards them. For others, it might mean to talk nicely about someone, to honor them with our words. And yet others still, it might mean to them to give recognition where recognition is due, to pay honor, homage type of thing. Now, all of those definitions aren't bad or wrong per se, but the Hebrew word that sits under our English translation here, kabed, literally means to give someone significant weight. It means to give someone significant weight, which is to say, when it comes to mum and dad, God's telling us that they're not to be treated lightly or casually, but to be given real respect as God-given authority within the family unit. Think about the way that we treat celebrities. Someone can kick a footy well, they can sing out a brilliant tune or even tell a few good jokes, and we hang on their every word, even though they've never sacrificed anything for us personally. Meanwhile, the people who raised us, who changed our nappies, worked long hours to see us fed and carried us through those topsy-turvy pubescent years can easily become background noise once we've grown up a little. Well, that's exactly what God doesn't want to see happening among his people. No, he says, parents aren't simply people you tolerate until you're old enough to cast them off. No, they're people to whom weight is to be given too. Now, as soon as I say that, that might make many of us feel quite uncomfortable. I mean, in our modern society, we're not really encouraged to have a high opinion of our parents. Also, for some, this instruction might be very painful because your folks may not have treated you well or are even on the scene. And we will address that shortly. But for now, all this to say, God wants his people to honor their parents, and he has some things in the Bible to say about it. For example, first, if we're to read the rest of the Mosaic law, we would quickly see that under Israel's covenant life as a holy nation under God's direct rule, persistent rebellion against parental authority was treated as serious covenant treason. So we can see that this instruction, it wasn't to be treated lightly by God's people here. No, it was an important commandment that had consequences if ignored. Second, and this somewhat goes back to what I was saying just before, it's worth noting that Yahweh has just spent the last four commands telling his people, whom he brought to himself, about what it is to honor him. And then the first instruction that he gives to honor others is directed towards those that brought us into this world. And I say that this is worth noting because I think God wants his people to see the importance of learning to honour authority. Now, this is a subject, admittedly, that we could spend an entire series on, but I just want to say by way of passing that we live in a time and a place that isn't exactly the most encouraging context that promotes the picture that God is painting here. I mean, the picture of a father and a mother, and not just a dad, mind you. If you read the text, this would have been expected in the ancient world, but God says a dad and a mum having children in the home that are called to obey is somewhat mocked in our society. I mean, have you watched The Simpsons lately? Our culture increasingly treats parental authority as something that's old-fashioned. But as God presents it here, well, we should see that this design for the family is actually something that is good. I mean, among many other things that are going on here, and there's a lot of different places that we could take this, but I just want to make a comment that in the home, God's designed for children to give weight to their parents' position. Because as they learn to respect and obey their parents, they're actually being molded to live in a society that has these structures of authority already built into them. In things like school, the church, the workplace, to name just a few. Which is to say, God-given parental authority within the family unit is actually doing something. It's shaping our children to understand responsibility, humility, honour and authority. Now, don't get me wrong, parents aren't merely authority figures for society's sake. No, they're God-appointed caretakers of these little images of God that are meant to reflect something of God's fatherly love and rule and care. But this instruction, it does do something. It does something in training children for the things that they will face as they get older. And let me just say, this isn't just a great idea for the Jews, as third, in the New Testament, it has something to say on this as well. In a few weeks after we've finished our series on the Decalogue, we're going to be doing a series in the book of Colossians. And I draw your attention to that because Colossians was written to a post-resurrection Gentile community. And in chapter 3 of that book, Paul commands the children in the congregation to obey their parents in all things because, and he gives the reason, this pleases the Lord. Again, he says a very similar thing in the book of Ephesians, with Paul commanding the children in the church to obey their parents because it is right, he says. And interestingly, in the ministry of our Lord Jesus, honouring parents couldn't be any more important for him and his adult disciples to follow. For example, in Matthew 15, as Jesus was interacting with the Pharisees on this very commandment that we have before us this morning, he derided them because they allowed people to break it, by saying that a young man, he could grow up, earn money, but instead of looking after his parents with his resources, instead of giving weight to them and caring for them in their old age, he could give his money to the temple treasury instead. And though this looks so religious from the outside, Jesus pointed out that it completely dismissed what God had told his people to do here in this fifth instruction. In fact, Jesus said, by this, you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Brothers and sisters, God has designed the family not for his benefit, but for ours. It's where children are meant to be trained and nurtured in the ways of the Lord and in the way that they should go for the rest of their lives, so that they might grow up knowing what it is to honour God and those in authority that He has placed over them. This is meant to start in the home with children respecting and obeying their parents' position. This is God's good design. But as we also see here, Jesus says this position of honour doesn't just simply cease to exist once we get our keys to our first car or house. No, it doesn't even cease to exist once we've left and cleft to a spouse of our own to make our own family unit. No, though our relationship might grow and might mature and take on different aspects with our parents, with their advice being more measured with our own life experience, well, we're always to hold them with that weighty position of honour and respect. I want to put this simply. Honour is lifelong, with obedience belonging particularly to children under their parents' care in the home. This is God's design for the family unit. It's structured, it's ordered, and it reflects something, it's meant to reflect something of God's care and love for us. And He's made it to be a blessing. And that's actually what we see here next in our text this morning. Honor your parents that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, to be clear here, within the immediate context, under the Mosaic covenant, this was talking about the life that His people were to look forward to in the land that He was giving them in Canaan. And there's a lot that can be said here, but I just want to make a comment on the concept behind this, because obedience and blessing are somewhat connected. Now, this isn't to say that God's like some cosmic a slot machine where people put their little obedience coin into it and out comes the blessing. That's not what's being said here. But what is being revealed is that God ordinarily orders His world so that walking in His ways leads towards wisdom, stability, and life. Let me say that again. God ordinarily orders His world so that walking in His ways leads towards wisdom, stability, and life, something that the writer of Proverbs was saying. To say all of this another way, there's two ways to live. There's a way that might seem right to us, and then there's a way that is right by God. And God is saying here, if you walk in the way of My instruction, you will find that that path will result in flourishing in life. Think about it like this. Imagine if a dad took his son fishing every single weekend. And before they left the jetty in their boat, the dad would say every single time, keep your life jacket on, stay seated when the water gets rough, and when I tell you, hold on to the rail. Well, you can imagine after a while that the son would start thinking, why all the rules? Why all the control? Why all of this rigidness? Why do I have to always do it like Dad tells me to? Well, for those of you that have gone out fishing on a boat before, you know exactly what the dad's doing, right? Why he's giving these commandments to his little lad. It's because he knows more about what it is to be out there in the unpredictable ocean. And he knows what it's going to take to keep his son from falling overboard and drowning. And so he gives instructions because he loves his son. He wants him to live. Brothers and sisters, this is the heart behind what God tells His people. Not just here, but in all the commandments, the instructions that we're looking at. He's essentially saying, as you trust and obey what I'm telling you, your life will be one that is walking in the way of life. Now, this isn't to say that we're going to have a pain-free journey. That's not being said here. But it is to say that as we lead a life under God's good design, that comes with its benefits. And so God calls his people to give our parents significant weight. Children should obey and adults should honour, because God's good design is there for our flourishing. And as we honour our parents in whatever stage of life we find ourselves in, we will walk in a way that is pleasing to him, and that honours our God in this world. If we're honest with ourselves this morning, and I really think we should be, this commandment doesn't just instruct us, does it? No, it actually exposes us. I mean, some of us have dishonored our parents by doing it openly, others secretly. Some of us have dishonored our parents by some horrid, overt rebellion, others by indifference. We're all in trouble when it comes to this commandment. And more than that, if honouring our parents somewhat reflects honouring God himself, then this exposes something else in us. It exposes that our heart naturally resists God's ways and means that he has placed into our lives. But this is what the law is meant to do. It's meant to expose our sin so that, yet again, we can see why we need a sin solution. And that sin solution is found in none other than Jesus, the perfect, obedient Son of God. You see, where we failed as rebellious sons and daughters over and over and over and over again, Jesus totally succeeded in being the perfect, obedient Son in our place. I mean, he honored his heavenly Father completely and in every which way. He submitted himself to God's instructions perfectly. And we're told that even as he hung there on the cross, taking the weight of the sin on his shoulders, he still made sure to give instructions that his mother had someone to take care of him, to take care of her. All this to say is through Christ's perfect obedience, his atoning death, that we receive the blessing, not just of long life in the land, but of eternal life in the kingdom of our precious Heavenly Father, which was something that we could never earn by our own obedience. Now, it's not because we inserted our obedience coin into some divine machine at some point that we can look forward to this blessing. No, it's because our Lord Jesus Christ, he perfectly obeyed the fifth commandment. In our place, died for our failures. And now that his spirit lives in us, we're set free to begin the journey of being reshaped into a people that love our God with everything that we are, and our neighbours as ourselves, including our parents. So I want to leave you with three things to think on here this morning, church. First, if you're a parent, then you need to know that God has put you in an incredible position. Your little ones are a gift from the giver of life, and you've been entrusted with a little person that bears the very image of God. trust me when I say parenting isn't easy. But this morning, fathers and mothers, hear that our trusting and our obeying of God's commandment here has consequences on our children. That they catch what we throw out to them. So do you show them Christ? How do you act in front of them? How do you talk about the authority figures in your life? How do you treat your own parents? We are responsible to disciple and mold our children. That is our calling as parents. How are you going to live this out? These are questions that every single parent in this room needs to ask ourselves. But remember this. This is not a lone venture. No, we have a good Heavenly Father that wants us to do this well so we can call on Him to give us wisdom and help. And remember this. We heard about this last night at the men's event. Anton reminded us of this. We're in a community. Parents, we're in a community. If you're married or you're doing it alone, you have a community of moms and dads that have gone through what you're going through, who have had the same questions, who have had the same thoughts of failure and the same fears and tears, and they have a lot of good godly advice to share with you. Second, if you're not a clone here this morning, you have parents. Newsflash. For those of you who are older and working and living, how are you caring for your folks? As our Lord has made it clear to us, we have an obligation to care for those who gave us life. And so, do you speak to them? Do you see them? If they're in physical need, are you helping them? Brother, sister, we are to give weight to our parents' position. So if you're able to, we're to assist them in whatever way we can. I'm going to go into Grace Kids mode now. So the little ones among us, are you listening to your parents? Do you know that they tell you not to play with fire, to wear a helmet on your bike, to brush your teeth before you go to bed, to say your prayers, to look both ways before crossing the street because they're trying their best to care for you and to keep you safe? Teenagers, do you understand that mom and dad are trying their best to guide you and to love you in this topsy-turvy world and to keep you from making epic mistakes that might affect the rest of your life? God has a design. It's for our flourishing. And I want to end on this morning. It's my third point. For some here this morning, this whole thing might cause so much pain. Because the very people who were meant to reflect something of God's care and authority in your life has instead caused great hurt and trauma. Maybe they abandoned you, abused you, or didn't care or love you in the way that they were meant to. So hear this morning. Honoring your parents doesn't mean pretending that their sin against you never happened. It doesn't mean placing yourself back into a toxic or harmful situation. That would be unwise. But it also doesn't mean that we should live totally ignoring what God has to say here, with bitterness, hatred, or vengeance in our hearts, wishing and hoping that these people would die without a hope. No, for those carrying those wounds this morning, remember this, the Lord sees you. He knows you. As our dear brother prayed just before, he knows the hairs on our very head. And in Christ, you have a perfect Heavenly Father who will never fail you, who will never leave nor forsake you or misuse his authority over you. And it's in that light that we are invited to take all of this to the cross. You see, obeying our good and gracious Heavenly Father here, it might involve honouring father and mother from a distance. Or it might mean forgiveness with things in place to keep you from ever experiencing harm again. It might mean reconciliation, but with boundaries in place. I don't know. But what I do know is that God calls us to honour our parents. And in Christ, we can go to him for wisdom with these things to help us to do so. Would you please pray with me? Our good and gracious Heavenly Father, teach us to honour you by honouring those you have placed in authority over us. Forgive us of our failures. Heal our festering deep wounds. And shape us in the image of your Son into a people who reflect your wisdom, grace, and love in this world. Amen.